Well, good evening, everyone. I want to encourage you to encourage each other. Look at the person on your right or your left and say chazak. Say it strongly. Be strong. Chazak. It's time to be strong. Let us be strong in these days. Have you noticed how easy it is to get in a rut? And how yesterday is just the same old, and it seems like every tomorrow is just more of the same? Well, I want to tell you something. God is preparing something for you. He has an opportunity for you that's going to bring you into something new. There's something new coming your way. You're coming into something new. And to get to it, there's a turning point that's ahead for you. There's something that God's preparing for you that's going to require that you recognize what He's doing and you do it with Him and you make that turn. And I want to equip you tonight so you'll be ready, so you will be alert. Have you ever missed a turn? Guys, yeah, like three guys admitted it, and all the wives are like, you're always missing those turns. I want you to be able to look back at this period in your life and say, that was a turning point for me. My life has never been the same. I want you not to miss what God is preparing for you. This week's Torah reading, Parshat Vayera, describes to us a number of turning points for Abraham. You know, life is filled with turning points, and we may not even recognize that we're facing some right now, but Abraham's life teaches us that every turning point is an opportunity to learn about God's faithfulness. Every turning point is an opportunity to live by faith. Abraham was faithful, and it was counted to him, what? As righteousness. Being faithful doesn't just mean that you can verbally say, I believe in God. It means that you can be trusted by God to fulfill the assignments that He is giving to you. To be a person of faith is not just to have a philosophical leaning in the direction of God, but it is to be someone who draws life from God and looks for God to give you direction, to establish your morality, to establish your relationships, to teach you how to live, to guide you, direct you, to raise you up and to complete you. I want to look at some turning points that Abraham faced, and the first comes from last week's Parsha, Lech Lecha, which has got to be one of my favorites. Just say it with me. I like hearing it. Lech lecha. Lech lecha. Get yourself up and get out. It's an invitation from God to leave everything of the past in order to go ahead into something. And what I like about Abraham is he heard this word, lech lecha, and he did it. He got himself up. He went out, and it was a turning point, not just for him, not for only those who had gathered with him, not just for his servants, but for the whole world. When Abraham turned with God and changed direction and went to the land that the Lord was showing him, it changed history. And you'll notice this, that the grace of God will flow through you to other people when you set your heart on doing the will of God and when you do it. Your good life choices have an impact on other people for good. When you are walking with God, other people get blessed. That's what it means, be a blessing. Now, some people only want to be on the receiving end of the blessing. God has called us to be on the giving end of the blessing. And whenever you join your will to the will of God, you become a blessing. You don't have to figure out how to do everything to be a blessing. You have to set your heart on doing the will of God. When He says, go this way, you say, yes, sir. knowing that if you go that way, you're going to come into contact with those God is wanting to use you to bless. Once we were in Budapest, and we had a meeting somewhere early in the morning, and a group of us felt like coffee. And so, believe it or not, we had a little discussion where to go. You know, one wants to go here, another wants to go here. One person prevailed who said, I just had this feeling we should go to this place. And we went to that place, and when we got there, we ran into a Jewish woman we'd been looking for months and hadn't been able to find. And it was one of those wonderful things that you could call it serendipity, like my dad used to. But I think it was just the grace of God organizing things. There are times when you won't be able to put yourself in the right position, but God can put you in the right position. There's another turning point for Abraham that was described in last week's Parsha that really prepares us for this week's. And it was when God instructed Abraham concerning Brit Milah, the covenant of circumcision. It was in Genesis 17. And Abraham responded to that. And he was circumcised himself, his servants, and even his 13-year-old son Ishmael. And I've been thinking about what Abraham could have said when he heard this word. He could have said, well, no, thank you, Lord. Or he could have said, you know, I just don't feel like that. I don't feel like doing that. Or he could give a modern, charismatic answer. I don't feel led to do that. Or he could have had one of those yes buts. Well, sure, Lord, I will be glad to do that as soon as you give me that covenant son you promised me. But Abraham just said, okay, now, I'll do it. While I'm waiting for the promise, he said yes. Sometimes we procrastinate. We don't do what we know to do. We don't fulfill what we've already understood God has called us to do because we're waiting on something else. We're waiting for something else that seems more important to us. And we get it in our minds, if we could do that, it would really make all the difference in the world. How many of you have figured out what's going to change the world for you, and you're waiting on it? Many, many people. If I get that job, if I got more money, if my wife was just nicer to me, if my husband just loved me more, if my kids weren't like that, if I was taller, someone says. If I was shorter, someone says. If my hair was blonde, one person says. If my hair was just curly, and the curly-headed person says, if my hair was just straight. And people so much want to figure out what's going to bring them happiness that often they're lost in their own expectations. But I can tell you this, Abraham and his life teach us that faithful obedience to God is what actually prepares us to receive what we're waiting for, even if we don't fully understand how it's going to work. It's actually the meaning of the scripture, the righteous ones will live by their faith, by their faithfulness. The ones who are righteous are going to find life comes to them because they are filled with faith and faithfulness. It's not because they've learned this mantra, I believe God, I believe God, I believe it, I claim it, I say it, I believe it. It's not that. It's that they actually follow the direction that God says. That's faith. That's faithfulness. Abraham, time for Brit Milah. I believe it. I don't want to do it. No, he didn't do that. He didn't lay claim to it. He didn't say, we'll count it as done. No, he obeyed. When it says that Abraham believed God, it means that Abraham trusted in God and acted on the things God said to him to do, and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's real faith. And the amazing thing is Abraham did not know what was next. He didn't know that he was at a turning point. While Abraham is in recovery, he doesn't know what's going to happen. All of his trained servants who were trained in warfare had just been circumcised. It could have been a time when an enemy would have attacked them and they would have been very vulnerable. Abraham didn't know what the situation was going to be. He didn't have the next chapter. He didn't know, was this important or not? He didn't know what would this release into his life or not. He couldn't imagine. He couldn't imagine what was next. He just knew he had to be obedient. And while Abraham is in recovery, you know what happens? The Lord comes down from heaven to be with Abraham. The Lord shows up. It's in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, the first verse of our parsha this week. And it says that the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oak trees belonging to Mamre as he was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the hottest part of the day. Little side note, you can read some rabbinic scholars who will say that this didn't really describe how it happened. It was angels that came. And so they have to add a few extra words to what the text says, because the text says it a little differently. It says the Lord appeared. It doesn't say it was in a vision. It doesn't say that it was like this mystical thing that happened. It says, Vayera, and he appeared. And then it names the place. It was by the oak trees at Mamre. And then it names the specific place. It was while Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent, and it names the time. It was the hottest part of the day. That's when it happened. You say, oh, well, Abraham was hallucinating in the heat. No, this was an appearance of the Lord. The Lord had come to tell Abraham and Sarah something, that their son was coming. And this was the basic word of the Lord: Abraham, this time next year, he will be here. Your covenant son, the one you are waiting for, the one who is impossible to bring forth, this time next year. I love that. One more year and you've got the covenant son you've been waiting for. It was a turning point for Abraham, but it only happened after. Say that word, after. After. Turn to the person next to you and just say, after. After. It happened after Abraham had made it through the earlier turning points. Sometimes we want everything now, and God is trying to get us to the right place, the right time, the right situation. And he knows how to prepare us. And it's going to come after something. We know God is concerned with order and with sequence, because when he created the heavens and the earth, he did it in an orderly fashion. And God is a God of order. He is a God who understands the beginning, the end, and the middle. Well, this turning point was so powerful, it shaped three different areas of Abraham's life. It touched the revelation that he walked in. It touched the nature of his relationship with God. And it touched his prayer life. Let's look at these things. It deepened Abraham's revelation. You see, Abraham not only got confirmation by this. You know, sometimes confirmation is enough, isn't it? When you've been waiting a little while, confirmation is good. Abraham knows for sure now God is going to give him a son, but he actually knew that earlier, didn't he? That was the problem. That's the problem we have with confirmation. Sometimes you're still waiting for the package to arrive. Well, confirmation, we sent it. It's coming. But our hope demands something more than that, and God gave to Abraham something very specific: this time next year you have a son. Sometimes we want to know more, but we won't find out until we face a turning point. That Brit Milah was actually the turning point. It was only after that that God said, now is the time. Now. Now, you can't make an absolute connection. You can't say, why did it happen that way? It's because God had organized it like that, and Abraham was saying yes. And so I want to encourage you, keep moving ahead. Stay on the path, because there's a turning point ahead. The path makes a turn, and you need to recognize it so you can stay on the path. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I have kept going because it looked like that was straight ahead. But when I kept going, I was off in the end. There are times when the road makes a turn to the right, and you got to take it in order to get where you're trying to go. Well, Abraham really was deepened in his revelation. You see, the Lord revealed even more to him, not just about his son, but he took counsel with Abraham. That's an incredible thing, the idea that the Lord would discuss a matter. What if something fantastic was about to happen on the earth, whether it was good or bad, and the Lord said, I need to talk to you first before I act on this. I'm not gonna call anybody else. I'm gonna call you. Can you imagine if President Obama gave you a call? You know, you get home after work and on your answering machine or your voicemail is a personal call from the president. You know, I've been thinking about this healthcare thing. I don't want to move on this until I get a chance to talk to you about it. I'm not sure what to do about Afghanistan. I need your advice. Genesis 18, verse 17, the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham that which I am doing, seeing that Abraham will surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? This man of God, the Lord is saying, is so significant, I need to open up to him what I plan to do. And this teaches us a lesson, too, that there are times when our decisions are already made. We understand what we need to do, but we still need to seek counsel. And it's almost as if the Lord is saying, Abraham, I'm here for mercy for you, but I've come to bring justice to Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 20 of chapter 18, the Lord says that he was thinking like this, I will go down now from heaven to the earth, he says, in order to see whether they have done altogether according to the cry which has come to me about the great sin of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, there was a cry coming from the earth all the way to heaven saying, there's such wickedness, God, you have to do something. And who goes down? It's the Lord. This is what the scripture says. The Lord decided to come down and look for himself. And he doesn't just send angels. This is very important as you're trying to figure out who's who in this sometimes ambiguous scene. The Lord is clearly present. The Lord is the one who's coming down. The Lord is the one who's deciding. The Lord is the one who speaks to Abraham about him having a son. The Lord is the one who says, I will be back next year and you will have your son. It's all very clear. The second area that was touched by this whole process, this turning point for Abraham, was his friendship, his relationship with God. You see, God decides to reveal his plans to Abraham, and to understand what that means, it's helpful to think about what Yeshua said. Because Yeshua said, friends are different. Friends are different. And he said to his disciples at the end, he said, I don't call you servants anymore. Because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You see, friends are different. You treat friends differently. You take them closer. You open things up to them. They'll know things no one else will know. And God said of Abraham, he's my friend. He's my friend. You see, faith is not blind when it's this kind of trust. God says, you trust me, and I trust you. That's how close we are together. I trust you, Abraham. I give you commands, and you do them. I tell you what I'm about to do, and you take it seriously, and you process it, trying to find what is best for the will of God. And this connects to the third way that this turning point touched Abraham. It deepened his prayer. You see, God told Abraham what he was planning. The Lord took Abraham into his confidence, and it brought out the best in prayer from Abraham. You see, you pray differently when you're close to God. When you have had fellowship with the Lord, and you've gotten beyond just asking, you've gotten beyond petitions, you've gotten beyond just asking about your own needs. And you're not just asking for other people, but you're asking the Lord, Lord, what's on your heart? What do you want to do? This is what it means to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just some rote prayer. You're saying, God, I want to know what you want to do now so I can give my heart to it. I want you to touch my heart. I want you to touch my mind. You will never be able to pray effectively if you're only praying from your understanding, if you're only praying from your needs, if you're only praying from your desires, if you're only praying according to what's obvious and around you. It said of Messiah that he doesn't judge according to outward appearances, but he looks on the inward things. If you want to look on the inward things, you follow the pattern of Yeshua and you spend fellowship time with God where he'll show you the inward things. He'll show you how to look at things differently. He'll show you how to feel about things. And you won't just have to work it up, and you won't just have to try to make yourself a better person. But actually, the fellowship you have with God will just transform you. You'll get delivered from that guilt about prayer. How many people have ever experienced guilt about prayer? Like, I know I need to pray more. Of course, everybody needs to pray more. And so that really doesn't get us anywhere, saying, I need to pray more. But what's really important is that when we draw close to God, we actually are drawing close to Him. And we're not just going through the motions. And we're not just saying what we think you're supposed to say. But we're listening. What is the first rule of prayer? Shema Yisrael. Listen, Israel. That's the first rule. So Abraham is being deepened in his prayer, and Abraham is asking for mercy and for justice together. And he says to the Lord, won't you spare the wicked because of the righteous? And they begin to negotiate in what will become sort of a prototype of Jewish bargaining. God, what about if there are 100 righteous? You wouldn't destroy the whole city if there are 100. The Lord says, no, I sure wouldn't. Which raises a question, maybe there aren't 100. 50? I wouldn't destroy it for 50. 10? No, not for 10. You see, what Abraham is finding out is God is ready to be merciful for the sake of even one. He's ready to show mercy to many for the sake of one. And that helps you understand the multiplying effect of faith and faithfulness. Your faithfulness can have an impact on scores of people's lives. We see in Abraham that he's not rejoicing in the prospect of his enemies being defeated. when word comes to him from the Lord, I'm going to come down, I'm going to look at this thing, and if I have to destroy it, I will. Abraham doesn't say, you know, I never liked those Sodomites anyway. I never liked those Gomorrans. That was not his attitude. His attitude was this: God, mercy and justice belong together, and let it never be said that the Lord was not merciful and just. That's the position that Abraham is taking. And it's not because someone taught him. It's because he learned this by having fellowship with the Lord. And he learned that God was being merciful to him, not only just on his behalf, but merciful to him. He was getting more than he deserved that was good, and he was being spared more evil and having more protection than he deserved. Emunim, the faithful ones, Tzaddikim, the righteous ones, learned to pray for the triumph of mercy and justice together. Lesser people pray for one or the other, but the faithful and the righteous pray for both together. So this turning point gave Abraham a deeper revelation, deeper friendship, and deeper prayer. Now, I want to jump ahead. It's 1 year later. Abraham and Sarah actually do receive the son, Isaac, Yitzchak, who was promised. He came exactly when the Lord said it was impossible. The Lord says, in one way of translating it, is anything too difficult for me? Another way of translating it is anything too wonderful for me? Is there something that needs to be done? And if it's done, it's so amazingly wonderful that I couldn't do it. And the Lord says, no, I can do anything. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. It doesn't matter how wonderful it is. And that's why we're taught to pray in different ways, because God can do more than you're asking or imagining. It's good to sort of be concrete and say, Lord, this is what I'm looking for, so that when He exceeds that, you can say, wow, the Lord did more than I asked, more than I imagined, because He's so good. Not because I'm good, and not because I learned to ask big, but because He is good and He is big. Years later, Isaac is now old enough to be called a lad. So he's at least a teenager. He could be even up to 30 or so, maybe even older. And God asks Abraham to sacrifice this son, Isaac. And Abraham is willing, and so is Isaac. And it's amazing that Abraham has that kind of willing heart, and his son does too. Somebody once said that life with God requires that you pay on the installment plan. You say, yes, Lord, and you think that you're saying yes to something specific in front of you. And you are. But what you might not realize is He's keeping track of all those yeses. And He will remind you one day, do you remember when you said yes to me? Have you ever prayed with such enthusiasm that you volunteered for things? And you said, God, use me. Or you said, I want to be used to pray for the sick. Or I want to minister to the poor. And then sometime after you've forgotten that you prayed like that, you find yourself in a situation where you actually have to do it. And it can be nerve-wracking. After you've been surrounded with sick people, you might say, what is the deal here? I remember when I was a young man, Isaiah 58 was very dear to me. And it said, you will be called repair of the breach, restore of streets with dwellings and other things like that. About a decade after that, and even 15 years later, I seemed to be surrounded by broken people. And I remember the distress and the discontent I was feeling. And I actually was murmuring to the Lord in prayer. Do you know how to do that? You pray your discontent. And I was saying, Lord, why? Why all this brokenness? And he said, oh, don't you remember Isaiah 58? You said you wanted to be repair the breach, restore streets with dwellings. I've given you broken things in order to fulfill what you've asked for. And you know, one part of me said, I didn't mean it that way. When I was praying like that, I meant something a little different, God. I think you misunderstood. But another part of me was saying, I'm not sure that I want this. But the part that had victory was the part that said, you're right, Lord, I did say that. Because you put it in my heart. And because you put it in my heart, I said yes to it. I didn't really know everything that I was saying yes to, and I sure didn't understand this. But now that I understand that you answered my prayers this way, I say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the broken people. Use me, O God. Some years ago, I was meeting many, many people who were new Messianic Jews from the former Soviet Union. Not a few of them had the same background. Their grandfathers and great-grandfathers had been rabbis, often Hasidic rabbis. And those rabbis had sincerely prayed, God, send us Messiah. Speedily, quickly, in our day. And it turns out that all these Messianic Jews are answers to that question, that prayer. Not what they meant, maybe. Not what they expected, maybe. But God said, thank you for praying. I'm going to send Messiah right to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, and they're going to serve Messiah. How's that for an answer to prayer? You see, you learn to start saying, thank you, Lord, for however he's answering. So Abraham agrees to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac agrees to be sacrificed. And this drew out from Abraham the full measure of his confidence in God. There's a midrash in the New Covenant Scriptures that says that Abraham believed God was going to resurrect Isaac from the dead. But God actually provided a substitute for Isaac. And we learn something from this. Turning points often occur in the middle of a time of testing. That's important to know. Some turning points are actually taking place while you're being tested, and you may not even be aware of it. These tests put us to the test, something deep inside of us. And God is wanting to not just find out what we're like, because he has a good idea. And he doesn't just want us to find out what we're like. He wants to increase our capacity to do his will. And so often he puts us in a situation where the real question is, which way are you going to go? Are you going to go away from God or towards God? Are you going to run from a difficulty, even if it means running from God, simply because it's difficult? There are times when we're tired, exhausted, and tempted to give up. Have you ever been in that condition? And I want to tell you, stay on the path of God. Continue on the way. Don't quit. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, because at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Every time you get that harvest because you didn't give up, it makes you stronger for the future. You can say, I had to wait 10 years last time. I can wait 20 this time, if that's what it takes. I want you to think for a minute about the nature of turning points, because turning points may not be obvious at the time. We may not recognize what they are. We may not realize their importance. Only later can we even describe their significance when you can say, that was a turning point in my life. When you go the wrong way, You may not even realize it at the time. You may not be aware that you missed the turn or took the wrong turn or ended up on the wrong path. I want to give you an example. Sandy and I were in Jerusalem, and we wanted to go down to the Dead Sea area, and we had a map, good Israeli map, and we found a route on our map that seemed to be pretty direct, the way we needed to go. And as we were driving, you know, we didn't see a lot of people. And then a man just waved us down. And I remember my first response. It was like, who is this guy? And I noticed he had all these postcards. And so I'm thinking, let's ignore him. Let's just keep going. But something in Sandy, you know, something in me said, stop. And so we come up. We stop, he comes over to us, and I think, okay, what did we stop for? You know, now it's just going to be a problem. And I'm wondering what's going to happen next. And he says to us, somehow in English, he says, you can't go this way. And I'm thinking, yes, I can. Look at my map. I got a map, and it says, I can go this way. It's, you don't know where I want to go. This is what I'm thinking. Like, you're a postcard salesman. How do you know where I'm trying to go? That's my first thought. And he doesn't even stop to ask me where I'm trying to go. He says, you can't go this way. And we're looking at each other like, why? And he says, you have a Jewish car. And I'm thinking, Toyota's not Jewish. But the reason was we had a rental car and it had an Israeli license plate on it that was a certain color, different from the license plates of the territories. And he says, you can't go this way. You have a Jewish car and they will stone your car. Well, now we're thinking a little differently. And we're no longer arguing in our minds with him about the map. You know, like, you don't know where we're trying to go, and we have a map, and it says, go this way. He's saying, don't go that way. You're only going to get hurt. How many of you would pay attention to a man who's talking like this? You see, that road on the map could get us there theoretically. But in reality, it wasn't going to work that way. If we kept going, the map said it was the right road. But it was actually the wrong way to go. So you know what we did? We bought all the postcards that man had. And we blessed God for him. And we turned around and we went back and we found a completely different way to go. When you're going the wrong way, God will often send you a warning. It may be hard to accept. It may be hard to recognize because we can be so committed to our way that we can say, I've got my map. I know where I came from. I know where I'm headed. I have a route already worked out. But in fact, by doing that, we may misinterpret. You see, we have our understanding. And we say, well, he just wants our money. He's just a salesman. And we think we know everything because we can observe some obvious facts. It just happens that we're completely wrong. And because of that, we ignore the warnings. And I can tell you some of my deepest regrets have come from ignoring warnings. I hear a warning, I say, well, it's not going to happen like that. I didn't want to see them as warnings at the time. But God, in his infinite mercy, will tell you, go this way, not that way. If you hear, you've made a turn. A turning point has happened in your life. It will lead you into things you cannot imagine. And if you don't turn at such moments, you'll never know what you missed. You'll never know the blessings that you missed. You'll never know the heartaches that you avoided. You'll never know why people are throwing stones at your car and dragging you out of the car if God loves you and is the shield of Abraham. And the reason is, the one God sent to warn you, you ignore. Yeshua said, the gate is small and the road is narrow that leads to life, and only a few find it. Rabbi Nachman said, I love this, Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tzama'od v'ha'ikar lo lefached kalal. All the world is a very narrow bridge, and the most important thing is not to fear at all as you go forward. If you're in the middle of something and you realize it's a turning point for you, I want to invite you to come up for prayer. You can come up right now. If you know, wow, I'm in the middle of a turning point, I didn't even realize it until now. And we're going to pray that the Lord will strengthen you so that you can look back on this time without regret. Because this time you chose well, and you stayed on the path. I want to ask my wife to come up and pray with me for people. Dr. Kevin, will you come up and pray? And John, will you come up? John Slayton, come up. We want to pray for you that you'll stay on the path, that you'll choose well. And I want to say this, today is a really good day to get on the path with Yeshua. If you want to escape a life of sin and independence from God, come on up here, we'll pray for you. Adonai Yeshua, the Lord Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. The Proverbs put it this way, Proverbs 15:24, the path of life leads upward for the wise, and will keep him from going down to the grave of Sheol. One translation says, it will keep him out of hell. Mm. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing, then we're going to pray for everyone who comes up here tonight. So stand, if you will. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, and the Lord protect you, and even send you warnings. Mm-hmm. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you, that you would not be lost on the wrong path. And the Lord be gracious to you with all of His favor. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom, His covenant of peace, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. I invite you to go to the Oneg to have fellowship. Those of you who stay here, we'll pray for you.